All right, y'all ready to get in the Word of God this morning? We are going to continue in our prayer series in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. If you would stand for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read this together. This will be our last time we read this prayer together in this series. And when the disciples, they asked Jesus, "Man, teach us how to pray." And he said, "Well, then pray like this." Let's all read this out loud together. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, this morning, may we be able to pause and just to acknowledge your greatness, your splendor, your goodness, your mercy. And may we give you the praise that you deserve. Lord, it is our prayer that everything that has been done so far has been pleasing in your sight. And God, we come just to worship you. This morning, I pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know you, they've never experienced your grace and your mercy, that today that you would speak to them, that you would open their eyes to your truth so that they can see you for who you are and they can hear your voice speak to them and call them to yourself, Lord, and that they can experience your goodness and your grace. For those of us who know you, God, I pray that we would be encouraged today, motivated to always be in a mindset of praise to you for all that you have done, for you are worthy of it. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. This is the last Psalm of David in the book of Psalms. It's an acrostic psalm. In the Hebrew, it takes the letter of the alphabet. So in English, it would be A to Z. And with every letter of the alphabet, it begins a sentence of a praise to God. This is David's praise to God. And we're going to let the text preach to us this morning. And I pray that as we hear the scripture, that we allow the Holy Spirit to speak, move into our heart, Lord, and give us even some visualizations and some reminders in our life of the times that God has been good. Now, we have to understand this, that this is written by David, who had many ups and downs in life. Not everything in David's life went well. Anybody have some things in your life that don't go well? All throughout his life, he was chased. He was Saul wanted him murdered. He was running for his life. There was some high moments and some low moments, but yet, when he looked back over the totality of his life, he could say, "God, you've been good. You're such a gracious God, and your mercy is always flowing." And so as we read this, let's let the words of Scripture remind us this morning how great God is. Or for some of you, maybe that it will be a realization that God is truly good. Psalm 145, he says, "I will extol," or "I will praise you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever." He says, "I'm going to praise you, my God." David knows who the true God is. It's the God of Israel. He says, "I will praise you, my God and my King." Now, this is David. He is the king of Israel. But he recognized that there is one king greater than him. He is not, he's just a king. But God is the king, right? Kings may have a throne, but his throne is higher than any other throne. Can I, someone say amen? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so David breaks off in praise and he says, "I want to praise you, God. I want to lift up my voice to you, my God and my King." David humbles himself and recognizes, even though he is the king of Israel and probably is known as the greatest king of Israel, he still has to humble himself and submit himself before God. There is no one greater than God. Amen? No one, ever. We all bow down at the king, at his throne. And he says, I want to bless your name forever and ever. He says, every day, verse 2, I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. I'm going to praise you forever, and I'm going to bless you every day, every single day. Is enough reason to give him praise. Now, I know probably there's many times that we get up and the alarm goes off, but we don't get up. Anybody have those moments? I don't know why they invented the snooze button, but they did. And so it goes off, and sometimes you hit the snooze button. Well, the snooze button gives you about 5 more minutes of sleep, right? And then it'll go off again. How many of y'all have slept through 2 snooze buttons? Anybody? Oh, man, I tell you. So what happens is a lot of times is we get up, and oh gosh, we're gonna be late for work. So we hurry up and we eat and we get ready, we get dressed and we go off to work. And then we go to work and we get slammed with all these other things that we gotta get done. Oh gosh, I gotta get this done, this done, this done. And then we come home and the kids are like, oh, gotta do this with the kids, stuff like that. And we can go throughout a day, sometimes if we're not mindful, and we never give God praise. Can anyone admit that there's been at least one day in your life where you forgot to give God praise? Anybody? Okay. So we've all been there, done that. But how much better does your day go when you are mindful of the goodness of God and that you begin with a praise, a thank you, Lord? Just the very fact that you open up your eyes and you breathe air into your lungs, it's enough to give him praise. Amen? He's a good God. There was an old preacher at Fairview. His name was Bob Jackson, Brother Bob. I loved when he preached. And he would preach, and he would always open up his prayer. He'd pray almost the same prayer every time. He'd say, God, you're a good God. He said, you are. You've been so good to us. You opened up my eyes this morning, put my feet on the ground, and got me on my way. You put the sun in the sky. You put the stars and the moon. You're a good God. You are. You've been so good to us. And when he would pray that, I was like, yeah, he has. He's been so good. Every day is a reason to give him praise. Amen. I'm going to praise him every day. Now, it's good to praise him on the Lord's day. This is the Lord's day, right? The church started worshiping on Sunday because Jesus stepped out of the tomb on Sunday. He's alive, right? He's alive. We serve a risen Savior. And so the church began to worship on the Lord's day, which is the first day of the week, on a Sunday. And it's good to gather together as a church and sing praises to him and worship him. That's what we ought to do. In fact, Hebrews said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but when we got to come together. So we have to come together at least one day a week, but that doesn't mean that we just have to praise him one day a week, because we're supposed to also praise him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Even Wednesday we praise God. You know, hump day, the day, like, by Wednesday you're like, oh, when's this week gonna end? How do you get through Wednesday? You praise him. Thursday, you praise him. Friday, you praise him. Saturday, guess what? You praise him. He says, I want to praise you, God, every day, forever and ever. That not only are we going to praise him in this life at this time, but when we die and go to heaven, for those of us who love the Lord and have been saved, we're going to praise him for all eternity. We're going to get to praise his holy name. And he says, I want to praise you forever and ever. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Wow. You know, it amazes me sometimes. Some people think they've got it all figured out. But he says, his greatness is unsearchable. Now, we understand some of the graces of God and the mercies of God and the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In this is love, that Christ, that God sent his son to die for us, even that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The amazing depths of love, the rich of his grace, the depth of the love of Christ on the cross. We understand it, we comprehend it, that it saves my soul, but do we really comprehend the depths of it? I don't think we will truly understand the full depths of all of that until we're in his presence. And I think for all eternity, we're going to continue to learn more and more about the greatness and the awesome and the wonder of our God. God is good. Amen. His goodness is his greatness, he says, is unsearchable. He goes on, verse 4, one generation shall commend or teach your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. One generation shall commend your works to another. It is the responsibility of one generation to pour into the other generation. We saw the witness of a testimony of what that looks like when some adults go as chaperones to a kids camp. The Hebrews, they had a story that they would tell their children, and every generation would tell their children, and that generation would tell their children. You know what it is? It was the Exodus. You remember that story in the Bible, when God freed them from slavery and they passed through the Red Sea on dry ground, gave them the Passover meal. So every time the Passover meal was observed, they was teaching their children why they were observing that Passover meal, that God's grace and his mercy flowed from them. And when it saw the blood on the mantle, the death angel passed over. And so it was their job and requirement that for each generation would teach that younger generation. We have a meal, and we have an event. It's called the cross and the resurrection. Amen. Jesus died for our sin. He saved us by his grace. We have been freed and delivered from the bondage of our sin. And when we take communion, it's an expression of what God has done. And it is the duty of every generation to tell that to the next generation from on and on. Every generation gets to experience God's working and his miracles, his grace, his mercy, and his kindness, but we are to pour into the next group below us. Vacation Bible School this week. Guess what that's an opportunity to do? Tell the generation below us about the goodness and greatness of God, amen? Now, several of you all are going to be helping us, and thank you for those of you who are going to be helping us. But if you can't be here to help serve at VBS, could you do at least one thing? Could you be praying for God to move during this next week? And as we see kids coming in, may they hear the greatness and the wonders of how great God is, so that they can be exposed to the truth of the King that is above all kings. Amen. We need to be engaged with our kids. And next week, I'm going to share a little bit more about this, but we're beginning to plan and think of a way on Wednesday nights coming up this next semester to make it truly a kid-centered experience, to where these kids are learning about Christ. Because I don't know if you're aware or not, but this worldviews that are going on in our culture today is moving further and further away from Scripture. Anybody else picking up on that? And so it is vital that we make sure that we invest and pour into the hearts of our kids and our youth, so that they know the greatness of how great our God is. Somebody say amen. He's a great God. It is the duty from one generation to the next to tell of his great deeds. Verse 5, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. I'll meditate. How many of you all ever worry? Do I have any people who worry out there? Raise your hand if you worry. Now, some of you are really good worriers. Not warriors, a worrier. And you worry so much that when there's nothing to worry about, you really get worried. And worry is constant focused attention on all of the negative possibilities that could go wrong, right? I mean, you're just thinking about all, you're just thinking constantly about all the bad stuff that could happen. And so you worry. So if you are a good worrier, guess what? I've got good news. You could be a good meditator. Because meditating is taking what God is doing and thinking and constantly dwelling on the goodness of God, on the richness of God, of the mercy of God, of all that he has done. And so instead of getting down and depressed, begin thinking about how great God is. Instead of thinking about how nobody loves me and everybody's abandoned me, think about the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, how God sent his son to die for you and that you are a friend of God. Begin thinking on the things of God. David said, I'm going to meditate on God all day long. His goodness and greatness. We need to meditate on him. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Look at that. We're declaring, we're meditating, we're speaking, we're declaring, we're pouring forth, we're singing about the goodness of God. Christians, we've got the best message to share. Amen? The best story that's ever been written has already been written. We have something to be excited about, happy about, to be able to shout and sing about. God is good. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious. How many of y'all are thankful for the grace of God? When you deserve something negative and bad, he showed grace and mercy. He says, the Lord is gracious and merciful. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Again, that's that hesed love. That's that special love that God has for his people. He's long-suffering. Now, God will judge the wicked. The Bible is very certain of that. But he's long-suffering, meaning he's patient. He gives us a chance to repent of our sin and call upon his name. Aren't you glad for the patience of God? Aren't you glad God puts up with this a little bit? Gives us some chances. This morning, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord, if you've never trusted in him, you can thank the long-suffering of God for that. He's been patient with you. And he's given you another day to hear from him and respond to him. That's why the Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to respond. He's long-suffering. He's patient. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. That's called what theologians call common grace. The common grace of God, the Bible says this, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. There's a common grace that God gives to all humanity. Life, breath, food. There's a common grace, but there's a special grace that he gives to his people. But God's good to all, even those who do not love him, even those who mock him, even those who deny him, he still sustains them and gives them an opportunity. That's how good God is. Verse 10, all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. All your works, all of your creation. Anybody been scrolling through your Facebook feed, news feed, and see some information about the James Webb telescope? Have you seen that? The pictures that they're capturing out there. I mean, just fascinating. The colors that you see, just vibrant. It's like the heavens, the Bible says, declares your glory. The Bible says that the trees clap their hands. As the birds sing, they sing praises to their creator. As the fireflies at night start lighting up, they're lighting for the glory of God because everything has been made by God and for God. We serve the God who created all things, the God who said, let there be, and there was. He is a mighty God, a gracious God. The saints should be telling and declaring this goodness. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of your what? Kingdom. Right? Because David started off with my God and my king. And if he's a king, he has a kingdom. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He has a kingdom. And he invites us to be part of his kingdom. Isn't that amazing? We get a chance to be part of his kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world, he said. The kingdom of God that's living here presently lives in the hearts of his people. But there's one day when Jesus is returning and he will have a kingdom that will never be shaken. A kingdom that we will be with him in his presence forever and ever. A kingdom that knows no end. Let's look at this kingdom. He says, verse 12, and we are to make known to the children, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Verse 13, your kingdom is an what kind of kingdom? Everlasting. What's everlasting mean? You know, I looked that up in the Hebrew. You know what that means? Everlasting. It means it's going on forever and ever, no ending. It's an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. There is kings that come into power, and they die. And there's kings and dynasties that have risen up, and they've been destroyed. But there is a kingdom that God has established. It's his kingdom, and it will never be destroyed. And we get to be invited to be part of that kingdom. Jesus told parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven is going to be like a man that had a wedding feast, and he puts out an invitation. And those who were invited would not attend. They would not come. So he sends them out again, and he says, go into the hedges and the highways and the byways and compel them to come into my house so that my house might be full. Aren't you glad that God gives you an invitation to be part of his everlasting kingdom? Oh, God is so good. He is worthy of our praise. Amen. His kingdom, his power, his glory forever and ever. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord, verse 14, upholds all who are falling. Have you ever needed the hand of the Lord to catch you? Have you ever been knocked down by this world? This world would let you fall and step on you. But the Lord, he will catch you and he will uphold you. Now remember, this is written by a king that everything in his life wasn't perfect. He had many faults. And he experienced the hand of the Lord upholding him. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Those who are just knocked down by life. He says, the Lord will raise you up. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. He feeds all the beasts of the field. He provides everything from the goodness of his hand. Every good and perfect gift, the Bible says, comes from the Father above. And he from his hand is the blessing. From the Father's hand is where we get our nutrition, our source, our need, our what we need for living and life, our sustenance, our grace, our mercy, our kindness, everything that we need to survive. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. Many people start wondering, like, where is the justice in the world? Why are some things that seem right? We trust that God is always just and he is always righteous and he will right every wrong. And everything that he does is just and kind. We may not understand everything, but God is just and he is righteous in all of his works. The Lord is near to all, verse 18, who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. The Bible says in James, if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. You can get as close to God as you want to. If you want a heart and life that praises God every day, then every day you get up and you praise God. You want to hear from God? You draw near to him. You call upon him. You seek his face. You get in his word. You hear from him. You obey him. You worship him. You honor him. He's near to all who call on him. Aren't you glad that when you call on the Lord, he hears your prayers? He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. He hears their cry and he saves them. Have any of you all ever been in a position where your life's been shattered and broken and you've needed to call out to the Lord and he has heard your prayer and he has saved you and he's healed you and he's delivered you? We have a lady in our church that experienced that. Also, another man that just made it home, Gene Nornhove, we've been praying for him. But this lady, Tammy, we've all been praying for. We had a prayer service for her here at the church. And God did a mighty work. I'd like for you to listen and watch her testimony.
My name is Tammy McCarty. I'm 58 years old. I'm married to my wonderful husband, Jim, and we have three adult children and two wonderful grandbabies. In August of last year, I was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. According to my MRI, it was in my ribs, my spine, my pelvis, and my sternum. At first, I was very frightened by the words cancer, and especially not knowing where it had originated. And I just knew that God was either going to heal me or he was going to take me home. And we found out that it was in my right breast. And the type of cancer that I have is very quick spreading. By the time he figured out and found out, according to my PET scan, it had already spread to my pelvis, my spine, my shoulder blades, and my ribs. After getting the diagnosis, it was very difficult for me to then have to sit down and tell my kids. I told them one by one. Pastor Grant came by our house and he was with me when I told our youngest. And we all just cried. We had a prayer service here and people they prayed for me. They prayed for me continuously. And I knew that God was faithful. And I put my faith and my trust in him that he would heal me. I started chemo treatments 2 days after my 57th birthday. After the first chemo treatment, I started losing my hair. My oncologist said it would probably be after the second one, but it was after the first one. I lost my hair. That was really difficult for me. Not that I'm attached to hair, because if you know me, I've always pretty much had really short hair, but I had a 2-year-old grandbaby and I thought she would be afraid of me and I couldn't stand the thoughts of that. But she wasn't. She did really, really well with me. And it is growing back. Slowly but surely, it is coming back. The chemo made me a little sick. I got boils in my head. I had MRSA on my legs. I was constantly sick at my stomach and I wasn't eating a lot. Nothing tasted the way it should have tasted. It wasn't good. The hardest thing for me with chemo was that for the first 11 days afterwards, I wasn't allowed to be around anyone. I wasn't allowed to go anywhere. I had to stay home. My doctor was like, you've got to be very, very careful. But if you stay away from people and wear a mask, if you want to go to church, we want you to be able to go to church. I wanted to come to church. That's the one and only place I cared about coming. I didn't need to go out to eat. I didn't need to go see friends. I needed to come to church. I wanted to be here. People were very good and knew that I had cancer at church, and so they would stay away from me, but they would wave to me or blow me kisses, and it just was such a wonderful and amazing feeling. So I had had 4 chemo treatments, and it was time for a PET scan to see how my body was responding to chemotherapy. I had no idea what the PET scan said. I did not know. And I walked in, and my oncologist came in the room, and he said, I have the most wonderful news for you. And I said, oh, really? And he said, you have no cancer. None. It is gone. God has healed you. And I said, oh, praise the Lord. And I started crying. And I hugged him, and he hugged me. And he just said, you're a miracle. You are a miracle. And I said, I am a miracle. God has healed me. He said, I have never seen this. I have seen lots of chemo and people over time getting better. But you had stage 4 breast cancer that had metastasized to your bones, and you are healed. And I said, I am healed. God is good. He has performed a miracle in my body. So 6 months out, I have in July another PET scan. I have had one other since my PET scan in December. All is still well. I'm doing incredible. My oncology team thinks that I'm just doing wonderful, and I feel really, really good. The one thing that I do know and that I have learned is, first of all, you're never supposed to try to bargain or promise God certain things, but I did tell him if he healed me, then I knew there was kingdom work left to do that I needed to do. And so I told him the one thing that I would do is that I would serve more than before, because unfortunately, I served before and got kind of tired of it and said, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm older. I just want to sit back and go to church and I just want to be present. Well, that was not the plan that God had for me. He didn't want me to just be present. He wanted me to serve. And my service is that I teach children, and I also told him that I wanted to share my testimony with as many people as I could in this world, because I want them to know what he has done for me, that he has performed a miracle in my body, and that I am alive and well and breathing because he has touched me and healed me. There are a lot of people that have stage 4 cancer that aren't healed. They don't make it. And I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm one of the ones that God chose to heal. And so my job now is to go tell the world about him. So if I can give anybody hope out there, no matter what they're going through, it doesn't have to be cancer, it could be anything, then I want to be that person. I want to be able to give others hope about what my Jesus can do for them, because he did it for me. I'm just an ordinary person with an extraordinary Savior, and I will serve Him all the days of my life.
How many of y'all believe prayer changes things? Amen. God is good all the time. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. He is good. Now, she said something, you know, at the very beginning, she was like, if God heals me, I'm gonna give Him praise. But if He doesn't, I know I'm gonna be in heaven. It's kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They got thrown in the fire. So we believe God is more than able to save us from this fire, but even if He doesn't, I'm still not bound down to you. Because ultimately, here's the reality. Every man and woman in this room here today and those watching on Facebook, there will come a day when we breathe our last breath. And if you know Jesus and you've trusted Him, guess what? When the day you were saved, you received the ultimate healing of your lifetime, because that saved you for all eternity. Because you're going to be with the Lord forever. And when He returns, we're going to have a glorified body, perfect body. It's never going to decay. It's not going to age. It's not going to get cancer. It's not going to, the heart's, all of the, it's going to be perfect. Now, the psalmist says, verse 20 there, the Lord preserves all who love Him. If you love Him and you know Him, He'll keep you for all eternity. But all the wicked He will destroy. I told you that He will judge the wicked. He's long-suffering, and He gives you patience to repent. But if you don't repent, if you don't turn and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, you'll spend eternity in hell separated from perfect love and goodness and kindness and mercy and for all eternity. So my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. That's why we preach the gospel. Because we have a good and gracious God that loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever, are you a whoever? If you're a whoever, then you're qualified to respond. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. I hope you know the Lord. I hope you know Him. This morning, as we have an invitation, our prayer is this. Those of us who know Him, may we magnify His name and praise Him all the days of our life. And if you've never responded by faith in Jesus, that today you would come and say, I need to give my life to Christ. I want to know this God who is so good, so amazing, who is the King, because His kingdom and His power and His glory is forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, speak to our hearts. We're thankful for all that You have done and all that You are doing and all that You will do. We thank You for Your hand that holds us when we fall, that lifts us and puts us back on straight paths. We thank You for Your mercy and Your grace and Your kindness that flows freely. We thank You for Your kingdom that You invite us to be part of, and that it's an eternal, everlasting kingdom. We thank You that You have provided a way for us to know You. So Lord, I pray this morning, there's anyone here today that does not know You as Lord, that today they would trust in You. Lord, for those of us who do, that we would praise You, that we would glorify, that we would magnify Your name, and that we would pray and call out to You. For if we are call out to You, You are nearer to all who do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.